just to honor the word. In Matthew 18:19, it says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." God, we do. We just thank you that you have positioned us as a people to be able to ask you, and that your Father in heaven would do it all. And we just honor that, God. And we allow that truth to be planted in our hearts. We allow that promise to reside in our thoughts in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So we're going to jump into Acts. So you can open your Bible to Acts 3, but I want to take you through this story in Acts about Peter and John. But I want to remind you that this was after Pentecost. And so you've got to think about the church has started. The power of the Holy Spirit was released into the people. They were living and moving on the earth. They were doing life like we should be doing life. This is like post-resurrection. Like, the church is alive. 3,000 people got saved on Pentecost, and it's spreading, and God is doing great things. And so you got to think about the people, and what are they doing, and how are they living, and what does that actually look like, and what does that look like for you in your heart as you're living in 2025, your post-resurrection, post being filled with the Spirit. We're living in the same time, just a different year. And we're a church that's thriving and living and abiding with Christ. And he's doing powerful things. So you have these two guys, Peter and John, which you know are disciples. And they were walking with Jesus. And now they've come to this place where Jesus has ascended. And so they're trying to get their feet in the space of, okay, what are we doing? Because he showed us how to live. And now how do we do it? And how do we walk it out? And in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, "And now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." So think about you. You guys at, 10:30, you got up before 10:30, but you came to the house of prayer. You came with an intention to pray. You came with a desire to seek the Lord, just like they were. And on their way, I just want to remind you, it says in Colossians 4:2, it says, "Continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." So what does that look like for you in your daily life when you're praying and you're being steadfast in prayer? This last week, last Sunday, I asked you, I put you on assignment. How many of you guys did your assignment? So, some a little bit, some not so much at all. I asked you to pray for 5 things every single day, that you would be constant in prayer. We talked about being constant in prayer, the value of prayer, to believe that prayer is so important for today's world. And even then it was important. They didn't just go off and thought, oh, we can just do whatever, whenever. No, they were intentional about being purposeful and moving towards the house of prayer to pray and seek the Lord. But in the midst of them going and traveling, they came into the court where the gate beautiful was, and there was somebody in the gate, and he was a 40-year-old guy, it says later, and he was lame. And he had been there day in and day out, and he had been crying and asking people to give him alms, and people's hearts, some of them probably were tender towards him, and they drop money in the basket. Some people were like, oh my gosh, would he get out of the way? I've got things to do. You're in my way. And as Peter and John, as they were going towards they had a purpose, right? And we live with purpose in our world, right? Do you? And when I'm going to Walmart, I'm going in to get what I need and get out. We live direct with direction and purpose. And we even have it so specific, like that direction and purpose. You can Google it. You can get it there as fast as you can. No detours, no sidetracks, no country roads. We're going to get there, and we're going to get there as fast as we can, because that's the point. And we kind of live like that. We're scurrying to the next thing, and to the next thing, and to the next thing. And I want to stop your scurrying this morning. I want to call you into attention that as they were headed towards what was godly, they were going towards a godly event, right? They were going to do a godly thing, right? That they got caught up with this guy, and this guy's screaming at them, and they're like, "We don't have anything to offer you, but we know a guy." And they're like, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And what happened? He went leaping and praising the Lord. He jumped up. I mean, his life was at one moment and drastically changed, because they took into account one moment of time that they weren't too busy to be attentive to what the Father was doing. And they were walking in the the attention and the obedience of saying, hey, we don't have any money to give you, but we know something better than money. We have a God that can actually heal you. And so he got healed. And that is a powerful thought, that in your today, no matter where you're going, that maybe God has somebody on the path that needs a divine encounter with the living God. And we have to start living with that intention that everywhere I go, there might be a divine encounter, that I might be able to do something in somebody else's life by connecting them to the Father. They didn't have anything. They even said, we don't got nothing. But at that moment, the name of Jesus is enough. Do you know that today, in 2025, the name of Jesus is still enough? It's still enough. It's powerful. It's effective. It's working. He actually said, when I go away, I'm going to give you my name. That's that seal that I talked about last week, that you have this seal. You have this actual like documentation to do what you need to do. I was thinking about it as a parent. When I'm living in my house, my kids got to do what I tell them to do. Nobody's going to be telling me to tell them what to do. I'm telling them what to do, and they're not talking back. Well, sometimes they do. But I'm saying, like, I just want you to understand that I don't think about it. I just walk in that authority because they're my kids. I'm going to tell them not to do something, and I'm going to tell them to do something. You are God's children, and you have authority in this world that you can direct the course of nature and the supernatural in today. That you can say, no, this is how it is in the name of Jesus. This should shift in the name of Jesus. I speak peace over this. You are healed in the name of Jesus. We don't got time to play games. People are too busy. They're too busy. So you got to catch them. You got to be quicker than they're quicker to run out the door. You got to be like, nope, I got to tell you about Jesus. And I got to see what God can do in this moment. And I'm saying that you have divine authority from heaven. Are you living with that divine authority in your daily? Do we live with that kind of thought? Whereas in our natural, we kind of live like that. And that's what they were doing. And when you go to prayer, I'm telling you that you should be active in your faith. Do not go to prayer in your doubts. Go to prayer active, saying, I'm going to believe God. As we sang this song over and over again, it says, I will trust in God. I sought the Lord and he answered. I seek the Lord and he answers. I trust in God. Maybe you do need to listen to it on repeat until you get it in your head that this is how I will live. That as I seek the Lord, he's going to answer and I'm going to trust him, period. I'm not going to do, like, there's no past. Like, shut your past off of whatever was in your past that didn't happen that you thought should have happened. Just cut that, sever that cord. That is not kingdom. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. You have to believe that you can trust him, that he will do what he said he will do. And that's what you see when John and Peter, as they're walking, they're like, well, we don't have anything, but we know that if we speak in the name of Jesus, this will be done. And then all of a sudden, they got arrested. So they healed this guy. The guy's all happy and all like crazy excited. And then all of a sudden, everything went south. We do not live in that same space. You have such a freedom to pray for people right now that the disciples probably wish they had. That they wish they owned that space where they weren't afraid. If they went and told somebody about Jesus, man, I could end up in jail. And that jail is not fun. I don't think any of us are going to jail for preaching Jesus. Come on, you should say amen to that. That should excite your heart, that there's a freedom there that you have right now. What if it changed tomorrow? Then would you just start preaching Jesus all the time? No, you should be doing it now. Well, there's a freedom on the earth for you to be able to speak the name of Jesus anywhere, everywhere, and all the places, because it's a powerful name that you've been gifted. And so as they got arrested, they got put into custody. And you want to know what happens when anybody starts saying anything about us? We like to hide in our little caves. I just won't do that again. How many of you guys have been rejected and so you ask somebody to come to church and then you're like, I'm not ever asking them again. I don't think I'll ever do that again. That was like, we get so intimidated and these guys are going to jail and they're not getting intimidated by the fact because they said you shouldn't be preaching in the name of Jesus. And they're like, well, we understand what you're saying, but this is the way we're going to do it. And we're going to still be preaching in the name of Jesus. Because in the name of Jesus, there's sanctification, there's righteousness, there's holiness, there's the supernatural, and there's something that God is wanting to do. And so in verse 4, it says, and many of those who had heard the word that day believed. Can I just tell you something? We get real excited about Pentecost Day because 3,000 people came to Jesus. The day that Peter and John got arrested, 5,000 people joined the church. When's the last time you shared and 5,000 people joined the church because you're sharing about the name of Jesus and you're seeing the supernatural? That should be today. That should be our lives today, that everywhere we go, we're releasing the kingdom of heaven. We're releasing the kingdom of heaven, and people are being drawn to them. There's people coming to Jesus. Even them going to jail didn't deter those other 5,000 men from coming to Jesus. Do you know the Spirit of God is powerful? Like, he's so powerful that even in the midst of the difficulties and the obstacles that you think should shut everything down, God would work through that because the supernatural would be released in those spaces. And that's where you should actually seek to go to. Where's the hardest place so that we could see the greatest revival? The places that no one else thinks that God could do anything, that's where it's going to happen. In your school, in your job, in your neighborhood, through your family. That's where we're going to see God's supernatural release of his kingdom on the earth, because he would like all the glory. He would like it all. He does not want to share his glory with you. If he's doing it, he wants to get all the glory. And Peter and John are like, it was Jesus. I don't know. We can't do this. This is only Jesus. He's the only one that can do these things. He just said, if we say it in his name, it'll happen. And we believe. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Are you stepping into those spaces and saying, I'm going to start trusting in the Lord? So what happens is in verse 23, it says that Peter and John got released. And after they got released, they said, we're going to our friend's house. We're going to tell him what's happening. I mean, and you want to know what happens is those friends that they came in contact with in verse 29 and 30, it says, and now they started praying. And this is the place that I feel like the 2025 church needs to come a little bit bolder. Instead of just saying, like, we're just going to just act like nothing's happening in our Jesus world, and hopefully they don't know that we're Christians. We want to act like we don't, like that. We want to blend in, and God is like, I'm not asking you to blend into the world anymore. I don't want you to be gray in this world of this world, that they need somebody to show them the righteousness of God. And what they said is they started praying. It says they looked and they said, Lord, look upon the threats. So they see that this is happening, these threats of getting thrown in jail. People are dying for the word, for Jesus. Stephen got stoned. This guy was going to die. And they're like, look on those. And he says, and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Their prayer was for more boldness. They were believing God that he would release even a more divine boldness on their lives. And he says, and while you do that, like, stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're seeking the Lord that he might even do more. They didn't stop. They didn't cower back. They didn't say, I know there's a lot of threats happening in the world and people aren't going to like it. No, they stepped forward and said, we want more, God. Give us more opportunities. Even though there's threats, we'll be okay, because we want to declare how good you are, how faithful you are, how wonderful you are. Do you know how good God is? In his goodness, it should be being released to the people. You should be like, God has been so good to me, I can't not tell somebody about it. If somebody gave you $1 million, how many people would you tell? Thank you. A lot. I think so. Like, it's true. If somebody gives you a coffee, you tell the whole world. You put it on Facebook, like, oh, you know. But we won't tell of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We should be declaring his goodness everywhere we go. He's kept me whole. He's saved me. He's been merciful to me. He's been so good to me. And yet, I completely understand. I'm going to give you my story now, because this was John and Peter's story. See, I was going to study for the word last week. I got my Bible. I was going to take my Bible and my notebook, and I was going to pray. And I was like, there's no better place to pray than at the coffee shop, right? No one else agrees. That's okay. I like praying there. And that's what I'm saying. Wherever you go, maybe you go to the gym. Maybe you go to the park. Maybe you go to the beach. Maybe you love going to the library. Wherever you go. So I'm sitting there, and it's interesting in today's world, and maybe some of you can understand this, that when I sit there and I'll like pull out my Bible and my notebook, get my coffee, you know, just having a, like, I'm going to have this time with God. I'm going to seek the Lord. And a lot of times, like, I throw my earbuds in and I'm like, I got worship music on and the world is now nobody, just me and God. And that's really great. You should have times with God where it's you and him. But you cannot be so distracted in today's world that you're not seeing the people that surround you and tuning them out. I don't know, there's a lot of people in today's world that have these in their ears all the time. And it's like, what are they running from? Why do they not want any voice, anybody in their world? And I would very highly say you should guard that space, that you don't get accustomed to having something in your ear all the time, because if you constantly have sound in your ear, can you hear the Lord? You need to be able to hear the Lord. You need to be able to hear him. And that day, I did not have those in my ear. I don't know why. I just was sitting there. I was outside. It's so lovely outside. And as I was sitting there and doing my holy thing, like, this woman walks towards the door. And I don't know what made me look up, but I looked up. And I saw her shirt, and it said dead inside. And I was like, holy cow, that's a terrible shirt. Like, it just made me feel bad for her. I was like, if you feel dead inside, like, I got life inside of me. I could, you know, offer you something, you know, like, there's something, like, God, like, come on. And she's heading in the store, and I was like, I didn't feel like God's like, speak to her. Like, I didn't feel that, but I was just like so sensitive to like what the Lord was doing. And I said, God, if she comes back outside and she sits in the tables out here, I'll pray for her. You gotta love these prayers. And I go back to reading my Bible. And this is the thing is, it's like we sometimes get so caught up in our religious spirits and our religious things that we're not actually attentive to what God is doing. And I'm calling your attention to saying, wherever I'm at, I want to be attentive to what God is doing. I don't want to get caught up in my own self and my own thoughts that I can't be attentive. So I'm back into my stuff, and I was just really hoping she didn't come sit down. That's my bad, you know. I'm being honest. Like, sometimes you're just like, that'd be, you know, scary. It shouldn't be scary to pray for somebody, but, you know, I feel you. I feel you. I feel that the enemy would love to tell you how terrible it is. Like, how, what if they, you know, and all the ifs and what's about it, okay? So I'm sitting there, and she walks out. She's got two drinks in her hands, and she walks towards the car, and I'm like, which is so terrible. And she stops, and the lady in the car is like, so do you just want to go sit over there? And I was like, wait a second. And they come, and they sit. And now I'm sitting in my seat, and I'm like, God, you're real fun. Like, you have a heart for her. You see her. There's something you must want to tell her. There's something you must want to convey to her for that shift to happen. All of a sudden, she came and sat in those chairs. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, nope. You just start. And I had watched this like video, and the guy was talking about how he makes decisions. And okay, so like, let's be real. It is hard. It shouldn't be, because God is good and we love people. But there are times when it is very hard. And I was thinking about when I was in Tampa and I was ministering to people in like the Taco Bell and on the beach, I was with someone. And the two of us went, and it was made it like way easier. And I was like, God, this is why you sent them out two by two. This would be easier with somebody. And so my friend texted me at that moment, and I was like, oh, I'm going to ask her to pray for me to be bold. Like, pray for boldness. Because I use that scripture where it says, pray that we'd have boldness. Because even those guys wanted boldness to preach the word, to continue to preach the word. And so I was like, just pray for boldness. And I'm like still sitting there like, I gotta do this. Like, I had watched that video, like I was gonna tell you about, that the guy was telling how he makes the decision, and he's like, well, this is what I do. I think about what's going to make the best story. And I was like, me sitting here is not going to be a good story. I'll have to be all like, I did not obey the Lord. That would be terrible. And so I was like, well, me going and praying for her, what could God do? Like, how good could he be? And how could he reveal himself to her? And so sure enough, I like wipe sweat off me and it's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I go over and I'm like, I just feel like I saw you. And I actually just told her the story. I said, I felt like the Lord saw you. And I said, and then I told them, I said, I'll pray for them, pray for you if you'll come over here. And then you were going to go to your car. And then you came and sat here. And I had to come over here and pray for you. And I was like, is there anything I can pray for you? And she's like, my shoulder's so in so much pain. And can I lay my hands on you? And I prayed over her. And nothing supernatural happened in that moment, except something supernatural happened in that moment, because I believe in the power of prayer. And the lady that was with her was so overwhelmed. And I just felt like in her heart, she was like, I've been asking the Lord to show and make himself known to her. Like, I could just feel that and how he made himself known to her. So you don't have to have all the right words. In reality, you just have to have faith that God's going to do whatever he wants to do in that moment as a vessel, imperfect. I did not do it perfectly. I walked away and thought, I could have done that better, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I mean, you could say stuff better. You could be like, I don't know. But we should be the church that's stepping out anywhere and everywhere we go. This is why I'm calling you into Who's Your Second? Because you're not alone. Have you ever felt alone? If you felt alone, I want you to raise your hand. Now look around. Because now you can feel like, oh, everyone else feels not like, hey, we're all alone. And so we all feel alone together. Not really. But like, that's not really the truth. I'm sorry. The joy of the Lord. The thing is that there are so many times that there are times when we feel so alone in our situation and the things that we're walking through that nobody cares, nobody sees us. And that's not true, because it says when two people agree on something, it should be done by your Father in heaven. As children of God, I'm calling you into this place, in this position of saying, okay, what does that look like? Who's the second person that I can call and ask them to pray? How am I going to be the person people call when they need prayer? That I can be that friend that will say, I'll pray for you. I'll step into this situation with you. I'll do that. Just like those friends. This is community. In reality, if you've called yourself a Christian, you can't do it alone. That's not truth. It's actually a lie from the enemy. Because as a Christian, he's called us the body of Christ. And yet we're one body, lots of members. I'm not separating my body up here and putting my arm over there to live alone in its own house and my head on this side. I'm not Mr. Potato Head. Like, you can't do that. We get that thought in our hearts that we can do this. We're going to live this Christian life by ourselves. And God is calling us together. He's calling us to be together. To live life together, to pray, to have community together, to not just, you know, think that I can figure this out on my own, I don't need anybody. You know, that's the world. That actually, that statement probably came from the devil himself. Like, you don't need anybody. No, that's not true. You do need people. How many of you need somebody? How many are you thankful for your friends? Yeah, I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful that there's a body of Christ at large in the world, but in this house there's a body. And then there your family, your like that God is actually doing something in that. That it's community. I think that it's more important than you think. And that there's a war against that in your life. To draw away and think, I can be by myself and I'll figure it out myself and I can pray by myself. Because God hears me, and God does hear you when you pray. But he also pray, when you pray with somebody, God does something in that too. And so why should we pray together? Well, because it's a shared experience with God. Isn't that good? Like, when you can share an experience with God together. How many of you guys like when we pray together at church? How many like being prayed over at church? Yeah, that's a shared experience together, community, that you're not carrying your burdens alone. And you want to know something? Every single one of you, it would pray different, which is beautiful. That's not bad. We should all carry the sense of how we converse with God. And how you converse with God might be different than me, but it's beautiful and it's powerful. And then there's more of it. It's a place where we can support each other. If you never ask for prayer for something, how do I know what you need prayer for? I mean, unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to me, unless I could just see it on your face, I mean, I don't know. And then sometimes that's subjective because you could be like, they just look mad, but they're not mad at all. Just don't buy into that one. Ask, hey, what do you need prayer for? What can I pray for? How can I stand with you in what you're asking and believing God for? How many of you do that on a daily basis with someone? How many of you guys seek out places that you can pray for people? You know what else it does is it gives you the ability to share in somebody else's burdens. How many of you guys like carrying it all by yourself? Nobody does, right? We like community. We like the ability to say, hey, this is really heavy. Would you help me? Would you care in the highs and the lows? It's actually a place where we can share in belonging. How many ever felt closer to someone when they were vulnerable and shared what they needed prayer for? Yeah. That's part of your heart, being released to somebody, trusting them that God can do that. So I'm going to give you a couple like experiences I've had in this like idea of praying together. So I have a friend and she was struggling with her family. And like there's like the reconciliation in her family was just bad. And she was reaching out to me and asking me to pray for her. And so we've been for months praying. I've been praying over her. And then I'll check in, hey, how's stuff going? And da 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 da. And then like last week she messaged me, said there's been a breakthrough and like there's been reconciliation between her and her brother. Hallelujah. Because prayer works. Prayer works when we pray together. She's praying and I'm praying, even if we're not in the same location, we're believing God for the exact same thing, that God would move in a situation she could not change herself. And so then there was another friend I had, and she has a huge burden for her neighbor. She was telling me about it. She's like, I just want her to come to the Lord, and God has laid this burden on her for her neighbor. Anybody ever have that where you just feel heavy for someone, you want them to come to Jesus, you just like you're tenacious in prayer, and sometimes you just wish somebody else felt the same way you did so that we could join hands. I joined my hands with her and we started praying, and I was speaking life and encouragement to her because she was actually trying to encourage her neighbor and speak to her neighbor. Last week, I just felt like this is so cool because I kept getting these like answers to prayer as I'm going to tell you about prayer, and that God was moving in that situation, and her neighbor actually told her that she wanted to trust in Jesus and that she wanted him to forgive her. Hallelujah. And God is answering the salvation prayer, the idea of like having a heart for somebody and going after it in a place of prayer, believing together. So for this, and every time I preach up here, I just want you all to know that I reach out. I actually reach out to 30 people and ask them to pray for this service. I can't do this. I can't preach without prayer. I honestly cannot. It's like, this is like Monday. I know I'm preaching Sunday. Monday morning, I reach out to like a broad spectrum of people and ask them to pray. I have one friend. Every time I ask her to pray, she automatically sends me a prayer on text. And like, this is what, and I'm like, yes, amen. I'll have people that'll say like, this is what I believe God is going to do. They prophesy over this space for me. And it encourages my heart that God would do that, that he would bring the resurrection power into this space. I do not preach up here or anywhere without a covering of prayer. Prayer makes a huge difference in my life. And so as I reached out to somebody and asked them to pray, they responded, would you pray for me? Because I've fallen away from Jesus. And I was like, okay, like, Lord, and I want you to understand, sometimes in the reaching out and asking, like, hey, would you pray for me? You don't know what the kickback will be and what somebody will ask you to pray for. That's the power of vulnerability. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. Hey, I need prayer for this. Would you? And then that is powerful. And now there was an open door for me to intercede on behalf of my friend that he would come back to Jesus. Would you intercede with me? Just God, we do. We just release the presence of God over my friend. As a corporate body, that he would come back to Jesus full, that he would have an experience with the Father that would be so rich and healing, and that you would wipe away all of the past and you would bring a fresh wind of revival to his heart in the name of Jesus. And so we believe in the power of prayer. There's so many, it's so powerful, but the thing is it does feel sometimes hard. So this week, I'm going to give you an illustration of why it, like, maybe it'll make sense. I really wanted to go for a bike ride. Okay? Anybody else bike? Yeah, thanks. At least one person. Well, in my house, I was like, come on, you guys want to go on a bike ride with me? And they're like, no. No. So hot outside. Why don't I want to do that? Like, that sounds terrible. How long are we going to go? I'm like, maybe like 6-7 miles. I don't know. It'll be fun. It'll be so fun. I try to convince. They don't buy my fun. Oh, wait. Well, my daughter back there says she would, but she wasn't there. So I promised my child. I was like, but I'll get you a soda or a drink. If you go with me, we'll stop at the gas station on the way back. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, that's right. That's like, a promise works. There are promises in the Bible that God has said in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God are yes in him. Do you see that? In him. It's in him that those promises exist. Not you and your greatness or how good you can be or how holy you can be or how you can say all the right things. It's nothing about that. This is just about him. And that's why it's through him. So it's in him and then through him that who? What does that word say? That what? It's a two-letter word up there. Say it louder. We. So this isn't just you. This is us corporately. We utter our amen to God for his glory. That means any promise in the Bible you can come to and say, this is what I'm banking into. And I'm going to ask you that you would join with me in the promise that God will never fail. He says, I'll never fail. We sang it. So God will never fail. I'm reminding you of the promise. She just said amen. I didn't even ask her. See how quick we can respond to that? That promise, that connection. Two of us are agreeing on something. This, that God will never fail you. And that's what we have to do, is we come into the promise. We have to speak that to one another and say, this is what we're believing, and this is where we're going. And so as I promised him to go on the bike ride with me, that, you know, he'd get a drink, because I got to win them. So we get going. And we're biking along, and I'm just loving it. Like, it's so fun. And we're just like, he's in front of me. And as he's biking, guess what he does? He's like, I'm going to take my hands off and bike with no hands. And I'm like, awesome. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to beat him and I'll brace him. We got on this street, okay? And it's a windy road and I'm behind him. And he's in front of me and he's just like, his hands off and then this way and that way. And I'm just like, do you not know that cars could be coming? And I realized something in that moment. I love when God shows me pictures when I'm biking. He didn't have a care in the world because he was covered. As I was riding behind him, he's like, I know if there's a car coming, mom's going to be like, car, get over, get off the side. She's going to be screaming and I'm going to just have to, I mean, he knew 100% that he could be as free as a bird as long as the mom's back there because mom was covering him. Do you know what that's like in prayer when you have somebody covering you in prayer? That you can actually say, oh, I know this situation is hard. I know there could be something coming, but man, the two of us, we walking in this and we're believing for a miracle. We're believing for a change. I don't even have to worry because I know my friend's covering me in prayer and that something will be released because God has promised us that when we two agree on it, it will be done in heaven by my Father. And that's what I'm saying, that you should have that carefreeness when you come into unity with your brother or sister in the Lord and say, we have agreed. And because we have agreed, God will do it. Do I know when? I don't know when, but I know he will. He will move in that he will do something. And he's got you. Do you understand that God has you? There's so many different benefits to praying together. Have you considered? what the benefit of praying with your friend is? It deepens your own prayer life. I have a friend in Oklahoma, and when I was a young mom, she was one of my friends, and she was an older mom. And if I asked her to pray, she'd be like, all right, stop. And in that moment, she would pray, like on the spot. I mean, you have friends like that. I want to be that friend. I was so moved that she would just pray on the spot wherever we were. It wouldn't matter. Everything else didn't matter. We would pray. If I was bringing up a problem to her, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, my husband, he was just so... She's like, no, we're going to pray about it. And she'd bring it to the Lord. Let's handle this in prayer. Like a friend that just prays. You need to be that friend that no matter what's happening in this moment, I'll call you. He's doing something. There's something that's so important that if you would just pray immediately, that you don't have to give your opinion. How many of you guys like your own opinion? You could cheer for that. Because I know y'all like your own opinion. I know you do. It's true. And you like to give it very well. With bold excitement. But we should have bold excitement to say, this is what God's word said, this is what he said he would do, and this is what I'm believing. And there's no backing down. And would you just decide that we would not back down together, that we would do it together, that we would stand in this? So I'm telling you, your prayer life should deepen as you pray. Your experience and perspective on God should change. Have you ever had a friend pray for you? And as they're praying, you're like, that was so good. I want God to do that. I didn't ever think about that before. Anybody? You should, because your friends should be praying bold prayers that you hadn't thought of. When you ask them to pray for you, I had a friend and she was praying over me, and that's how I felt. I was like, I do want God to do that. That is exactly what I want God to do. Because sometimes when you're struggling in the midst of doubt and fear and unbelief and you can't see what way to go, and somebody starts praying and telling you, this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life, this is who God said you are, this is what God said he would do, this is the victory, and you start hearing that, and that pushes out all the other stuff. How about that? Are you that friend that can pray like that, that would stand with somebody? I'm calling you into new spaces. You also, when you pray, it's probably one of my favorites, you get a greater understanding of somebody's heart. When you hear them pray to the Lord, it's beautiful. You're hearing their heart for the situation. When we were in the kids' classes on Wednesday night in June, I led the kids one night, and we were talking about prayer. And one of the little girls was like, well, I just really want God to heal my friend Elsie. Her arm got broken. I was like, you know Elsie? Like, I didn't even, like, connect. Like, and God was moving on her heart. Sometimes we have to understand that there's such an, like, it's such an invitation to hearing someone's heart, how they're responding to God, how they feel about God. It shouldn't be something you should temper or back away from, but press into, because it's super uncomfortable sometimes. I'm going to tell you a little story. Well, quite a few years ago, I was like, Romero and I should be, was my husband, we should be praying together. You know, it's a good idea, right? Everybody should agree with that. We should be praying together. We were not praying together. And I was just so stirred. And I was like, so like, we were like hanging out. And I was like, you know, we should pray together. We're both Christians, by the way. And he was like, for real? I was like, yeah. Why now? I'm tired. I'm like, come on. You know, like, there's a battle that can happen in that space that you could feel uncomfortable because you're not used to it. And you have to actually say, I'm not going to be unoffendable in that space. Because guess what? I started praying and he fell asleep and I was not happy. I was like, this is rude. What kind of Christian are you? No. But not really. I mean, I was feeling that way. But I want you to understand, when you're doing kingdom work, the enemy will come in anyway. He'll make it seem uncomfortable. He'll make it seem like you fall asleep. Like anybody who starts praying, you fall asleep. We get you all tired. We get you distracted. All the things. And I'm saying that you are doing something kingdom, and you got to get your feelings out of the way, because it's not personal. It's kingdom. There's something God wants to do through prayer in the earth right now. And if you as a husband and wife are not praying together, you should be. From this day forward, every day, you should be praying together, because there is a power in the unity of a husband and wife praying together that's supernatural, that God would move in that space. And I am encouraging you, if it's uncomfortable, get over it. If it's awkward, oh well, lots of things are awkward. You know, go to the dentist. That's uncomfortable and awkward, and you still do it. You know, go. You can just do it. Just pray together. Pray together. Have your kids pray with you. Do you know what? If you don't have faith, like you don't, you feel like your faith is a little bit like lazy, and pray with a kid. They'll be like, God save them all. Bring all the money in, all the hills, you know. I mean, they'll pray bold. And then your faith will be stirred, because their childlike faith would ask God for anything. And you'll be like, oh, teaching our children how to pray, praying as a family. It is so important. And it's something that needs to awaken in the church. It needs to awaken. When you get together with your friends before you do anything, you should say, hey, why don't we just pray together? You know how many of them probably walk back out the door? That's all right. We're going to pray together. Like, we should be praying together. We do all these things together. Go sit and have coffee together. We do this together. We go to movies together. Hey, why don't we just pray together? Why don't we believe that God is going to move? You should be a friend that prays. You should be a friend that prays. You should be a friend that prays. Because it is. If there's moments where you have to destroy your own pride in praying. Because there's times when you're like, I don't like praying out loud. I'll just pray quietly. But like, amen. How many guys do that? No one ever hears you, but you prayed in your head. I'm not talking about that. You actually have to have an open heart to saying, God, what could you do if I was to pray with someone? What's the possibility of us joining our prayer together? To trust God that he's going to do something in that. That really, honestly, just start somewhere. If you're like, I would never pray out loud in front of anybody, that's okay. Text a prayer. Voice text it. They won't see your face, you know? Second step. Third step, pray on the phone. Fourth step, face-to-face. FaceTime. You could do FaceTime first and be like, oh, see, this is the wall. I don't know. You know, just take the steps. Take the steps. Like, don't just start somewhere. Like, we can just like, well, no, do it. How many of you need prayer for something? Every single one of us probably are desiring to seek the Lord, that he would answer us, give us wisdom, knowledge, all the things. And how much more if we join in prayer together, if we keep moving in that. You just have to understand that you have to respect each other's differences. Some people will say God like 7,000 times as they pray. That's okay. You know, that's just how they pray. That's how they talk to God. Just be respectful and say, God, teach me from my brother and sister how they're praying. Let me have an understanding of how they converse with you. Come into it with humility and excitement that you're going to learn more about God as they seek the Lord on behalf of you or behalf of whatever's being prayed for. This is a vital thing in today. There's one amen, but I would really like the whole room to say it. This is vital for today. It's so important. If you don't know what to pray, I'm going to just pop these scriptures up. Would you just throw, like, I'm going to go through a list, because I actually believe that if you pray the word of God, it's one of my favorite things. If I don't know what to pray, I'm praying the word of God. I just go to the scripture. This is the word. These are some scriptures. Matthew 6:9, that's the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know what to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. In Ephesians 1:16-19, this is another thing that, like, he's saying, I don't cease to remember giving thanks to you, and I'm praying for you, and he's praying that the Lord would do this and this. You can just pray the scripture. Then in 2 Thessalonians 2:16, he's saying, God, give them hope and peace and grace. Pray those things over people. And then the next one is Colossians 1:9-11. It's just asking the Lord to move in a manner in their lives, asking God to do something supernaturally. There's so many verses that you can pray. Philippians 1:6, you know, that God would do exactly what he said he would do, that he would do the good work in somebody's life, that he would move in their life. And then of Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it's another prayer. Just asking God, like, in everything, like, let him not be anxious. Let him give thanks to you, God. Just simply just saying the scriptures, because God is attentive to his word. He sends angels on assignment according to his word. And you could actually speak the name of Jesus if you don't even know what to say. Just say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Because when I was in Bible school, he said, if you speak the name, it makes God actively present in the space. Speaking the God, that God is the Shalom, the God of peace. Like, you don't have to say much. It's not about all the words and the fluff. It's just saying, Lord, I'm asking that you would move. I'm asking that you would do something, that you would move somewhere. And so I have an assignment again for you. Would you throw the picture up? Who's your five? Last week we prayed a lot about the nation and the community, seeking God about our family. And I'm asking you to pick five people, maybe five of your friends. How often do you pray for your friends? Maybe five people that you want to see come to Jesus, the unsaved. And going after those five people with all of your heart, saying, God, I'm going to believe that you're going to do this supernatural work, that you're going to heal and restore, and that you're going to bless their marriages. Like, you could pray over every aspect of their lives. Just pray a blessing over their job. Ask God to move in their hearts. Ask him to grow them in the knowledge of God, in the wisdom of God. Ask him to give revelation. Ask boldly. Say, God, let them walk in health all the days of their lives. Ask God that he would move in the sense of, like, all that their needs would be met according to God's riches and glory in Christ Jesus, that he would move and cause them to be debt-free, that they would be prosperous and successful. You can pray bold prayers because you have a big God. Okay, maybe I'll just say it again. You can pray bold prayers because you have a big God. Yes, we do. And he backs up his word. And he backs up his promises. And so I'm encouraging you, aside from praying for your friends, even this morning, you know, I told you I asked my those people to pray. I got a text this morning. And it just so encouraged me, because sometimes it is so necessary to remind people that you're praying for them, that you didn't forget, that you check in, that idea of being constant and watchful, saying, hey, how is it going? What is God doing? And I had one of my friends, and he sent me this text. He says, I haven't forgotten about you. I've been praying all this week, and it's going to be so good. And I was just like, God, thank you. Thank you that there are people that are constant in prayer, that are watchful in prayer, saying, hey, I haven't been forgetting. I'm standing with you. And to check in and to go after it even more boldly than ever before, because you truly trust in God. Do you truly trust in God? So I'm asking you, aside from praying for those five, that twice this week, how many of you guys could just hold up two? I really think you can just do it twice. Just, like, you know, pushing you. I was going to say five. I was just going to be like, I'll just, like, go to two. That you would pray with somebody. How about the whole church shows up on Saturday night to pray? Wouldn't that be powerful if we all just said, hey, we believe in prayer. We're going to pray over the service on Saturday at 5:30. All of us just show up. We just all come because we want to see what God will do, because we believe that he'll do something great. I'm encouraging you to pick two people and just say, hey, can we pray together? Call them, text them, all the different things. Start somewhere, but twice. How many of you guys could do that? Amen. It's so important. Would you stand with me?